Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. So good to see you today. Good to be back home. I was away last week. Just delighted to be back here once again to the place I love. So delighted to see you here, especially those of you who are our guests. It's a wonderful time of rejoicing this morning, a great time to celebrate His name. Now, we may have gotten a little confused on the scripture today, but let me tell you, the fumble was my fault. And I take full responsibility for that. We are looking today to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to begin in the third chapter, verses 1 through 7. And I want to talk to you today about stepping into a unified future. You know, what I've noticed in life is this. God rarely requires from us what is easily released. Have you ever noticed that? In the scene that is described in today's text, the Israelites actually were about to be challenged to leave their comfort zones. In fact, they were crossing over the Jordan River, and this speaks of a time of genuine transition in the history of Israel. In order to cross over, there were conditions that had to be fulfilled, and there were orders that had to be obeyed, and there were promises that had to be believed. These things are what God had in mind for the people. One pastor asked his church one time, "What must we do with the promises of God?" He was surprised that the majority of his people in his congregation answered this way, "We must underline those promises in yellow." That was not the answer he was looking for, folks. The answer he was looking for is the same answer that I'm looking for today as we consider what we must do with the promises of God. We must appropriate them in faith. We need to act on what God has shared with us. And that's why this passage is such an important passage in the history of Israel. It's an amazing thing when you look at it. What their forefathers had failed to do, now then this generation of Israelites had an opportunity to do, and they were about to do it. Now, I'm sure the buzz that day in the camp was something like this. This is the day we've waited for. We stand on the brink of a dream. Our forefathers blew it, but we won't blow it. We're going to obey. Yet when they came to the stream, the gentle Jordan that they thought they were going to approach was now turned into a raging river. The floodwaters were mighty there. In fact, it had swelled into a full flood stage, and the river that was usually about 40 feet across was up to a mile across in places. And the current was furious too. And surrounding that floodplain, there were all kinds of brush, scrubs, and trees. And now then the river had raised up and was over that scrub brush, making it difficult to cross over. I don't know if you've ever crossed down on the Canadian River, but if you have, you know how in some places on the Canadian River, if you get down in the valley, all up and down that floodplain, there's a lot of scrub brush. And actually, when the floods come, it covers over that brush. And so the people, in order to cross over the river, now would have to transverse even among those hidden obstacles under the water. They no doubt begin to reason like this. Perhaps the strong can make it. Maybe those who know something about crossing rivers. But what about the infants? What about the elderly? What about the weak among us? And so an insistent and continuous no began to form in their hearts as they listened day after day to the endless roar of the floodwaters. But God had a lesson to teach them, as God has a lesson to teach us as well from this passage today. And the lesson is simply this. God can turn a no way into a highway. And He was about to teach them what He's about to teach us, that the very next step in life must be taken in every church, in every nation, in every congregation, that we have to move from being grounded to being grateful. We have to move from being immobilized to being invincible if we're going to fulfill the purpose that God's called us to fulfill. Now, they were facing here what can be described as a defining moment, a red letter day. Something of tremendous importance was taking place right here and happening right before their eyes. This was something of epic significance. This crossing is a transition. It's what we would call in our day a game changer. You know what a game changer is, don't you? It's something that is so significant, it's so meaningful that the whole course of a given situation hinges on that event. Example, a national championship football game was played not long ago. You remember that. You remember how close that game was. We sat there and kind of watched that go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, Coach Saban did something that was kind of unheard of at that point of the game. The mid-course correction, he called an onside kick. And that was such an outstanding call that it literally changed the tempo of the entire game. That was what we would call a game changer. This is exactly what happened here in this situation with the Israelites. This was a game-changing event. Everything was just kind of rocking along. Everything was going along. But now God wanted to shake them and get their attention because this was a game-changing event. And now that's what's going on. That's what's going on as well with our church. Did you realize that? I mean, here we are. We're sitting in a brand new building. A new building with new opportunities. God's call on our church not only to be a church of outreach and a church of making a difference in our community, but whether or not you realize it, God has called on our church to be a pace setter. God has called on our church to be a model to other churches. I recently was gone. Last week I was gone. The reason I was gone is a young pastor down in Oklahoma had been watching our website week after week after week, and he called me several weeks ago and said, please, would you just come and share with us what you share with your people, because we see that it's happening in your church, and that's exactly what we want to happen in our church as well. We want our church to be like yours. And folks, that's a great challenge to us, because today we find ourselves facing a defining moment in the history of this church. We've got a brand new building. The moment is now a game changer. It's time for us to step up and do the things that God is calling us to do. We're at a point of epic significance. You see, it's not enough ever to just buy a new vehicle. You've got to know how to drive it. It's not enough ever just to be able to purchase something new. You've got to be able to fulfill the possibilities and the purpose of that something new. We're standing right now on the brink of a God-sized future, folks. And we're facing what seems like challenging situations. Maybe impossible tasks seem to loom out there before us. But I want to remind you today that these are no match for the God of the impossible. Listen to this and remember this. The future is his, and he wants to give the future to us. The future is his, and he wants to give the future to us, but in order for it to be fulfilled, it must be done in God's way. Now, the last time I spoke to you from this pulpit, I shared with you one of the most common compliments that I get from guests who visit our church is simply this. They say, we sense the presence of God uniquely in your fellowship. And I reminded you when I shared that with you that that is something that we can never, ever, ever take for granted. You see, folks, it's one thing to possess the presence of God. It's still another thing to follow where that presence is leading us, regardless of the cost in our lives. All genuine Christians possess Jesus Christ, but many Christians do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ daily in victory that God has for our lives. You see, victory is seeing which way God is going and then joining him in that direction. Unbelief says, well, let's just go back to where it's safe. But faith says, let's go forward to where God is working. In the past, the Israelites had to cross the Red Sea. You remember that? That's a previous experience. That's another situation. We, like them, have been taking necessary steps to the closing of our past in order that we might reach our tomorrows. But there comes a time when we have to decide whether or not we're willing to participate in the miracle that God has in mind for us, the miracle of our future. Now, it's not enough just to build a new building. We must make major sweeping changes in the way we do things, in the way we do outreach, in the way we do discipleship, in the way we do fellowship, in the way we do worship. God will never force us, but he will stretch us to step out in faith So we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to cross over the Jordan? Here's some things that we can all agree on. It is God who has brought us here. It is God who will keep us and preserve us here. And it is God who will take us on from here. But here is the word of God. It's a word from God, and it's a word straight from my heart as your pastor. Remember this. Write this down. Put it in the margin of your Bible, wherever you take notes. To get something that you've never had, you have to be willing to do something that you've never done. Now back up on that. To get something that you've never had, you have to be willing to do something that you've never done. In verse 4 of our text, Joshua tells the people that they're walking into unexplored territory. He says there, "We have not passed this way before." Now you recall Abraham, the father of the faith. He went out and he did not know where he was going. The Bible tells us that he was traveling under sealed orders, but I submit to you, it was a good thing that he did not know where he was going. He, like us, would have been tempted to put his eyes on the destination. But since he did not know where he was going, he had to keep his eyes instead on God. Well, once long ago, there were some sailors on a ship one dark and stormy night, and it was a creaky old ship, and the sailors were frightened. So they elected a man to go and speak to the captain and ask him what was going on, to express their concerns and find out what the captain had in mind. He said, "Captain, the men are worried because this is an old ship, and the night is dark and stormy. What is our condition?" The captain looked at the man who had been elected to ask the question, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to give it to you straight. This is a leaky old ship, and we may go down. But I need to tell you something else. The boilers on this ship are weak, and so we may blow up. But whether we go down or whether we blow up, one thing is for certain, we're going on." Amen. Folks, that's the way it is with us, too. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know all that God has in mind, but we are going on. We don't know what the future holds, but I am for going on. It's very interesting when we discover that some commentators believe that this place where the people of Israel were crossing is the very spot where Jesus was baptized by John. Now, what that means is simply this. It always comes back to the same thing that we emphasize here at First Southern week after week after week after week. And it is this significant event, this point is a point of submission. Just like Jesus submitted himself to obey the will of the Father, the Israelites had to submit themselves to step into the future. And you and I must do the very same thing. That's the only theme I know for the people of God. That's the only way we ever respond to him. So I want to talk to you just for a brief moment about stepping into a united future. In this lesson, we see a couple of things that contributed to the unity from Joshua's crossing of the Jordan River. Unity is important to the church at large, but unity is specifically important to us today as a congregation because this river crossing had the effect, if not the express purpose, of binding the hearts of these people together. Jesus stressed how important it is for us to move forward in unity. He said, if you're going to step into the future, you've got to step into a unified future together. Unity, see, is important to any army. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 25, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Paul said in Ephesians 4, 3, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves with peace. That's what I want us to see today. We're just going to look at a couple of things, but the first one is this. I want us to see the unity of direction. In verses 1 through 4, Joshua started early the next morning, we read, and left the acacia grove with all the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan and stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, carried by the Levitical priest, you must break camp and follow it. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the Ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before. Joshua cautioned the congregation of Israel, you've never been this way before. This is a brand new land. This is something that is unfamiliar to you. Their enemies were ominous and threatening, and their tactics would be unconventional. And so Joshua, instructed of the Lord, gave instruction to the people that the Israelites were to be preceded by the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to follow after that Ark of the Covenant. Wouldn't now, we've been talking about the Ark of the Covenant a little bit. Last time I spoke from the pulpit, you remember, I described for you the Ark of the Covenant. It was a gold box with angels standing on top of it, or actually kneeling on top of it, looking down forever on the mercy seat with wings outstretched, seeing what God would do through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God's direction is so critical for the unity of God's people. Whenever there is a changing culture, whenever there is a threatening enemy, whenever there are unconventional methods, that all can set the stage for division in our lives if you and I are not in tune with the direction of God. At the edge of the promised land, Israel had to learn what we all must learn together. It is not enough to believe the promises of God, folks. We must possess the promises of God. The ark was synonymous, you see, with the presence of God. And they had to follow God's unified direction. Churches are united by God's direction, too. Joshua's caution to Israel applies to each new generation of the church today. You have never been this way before, he stressed to them. Now, rapid change is occurring all around us. In our land, in our society, in culture, in the world, we face the unfamiliar every day. This is no longer the world that most of us grew up in. And so rapid change is around us everywhere. Back in May of 1991, not so long ago, the Soviet cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev was living a very predictable life. He resided comfortably in a place called Leningrad on 500 rubles a month. He expressed leadership in the government of his country, led by a man by the name of Gorbachev and the Communist Party. He fully believed in Soviet nationalism, and he looked upon Boris Yeltsin as an insignificant gadfly. Krikalev was shot into space, though, above the fuel of a well-funded Soviet space program. And his galactic journey was supposed to last 5 months. In fact, it ended up lasting 10 months because of difficulties they encountered. They couldn't get him back down. When he finally did come back down to Earth, you know what had happened? He came into a brand new world. He came into a world called not the Soviet Union, but rather the Commonwealth of Independent States. In less than a year, the Soviet Union had completely disintegrated. The town that he was living in, Leningrad, was now called St. Petersburg. And his communist leader, Gorbachev, had become a private capitalist, signing book deals worth millions of dollars. Yeltsin, the once insignificant Yeltsin, was now the president of Russia. And the Communist Party had become powerless, and Krikalev, 500 rubles a month, could not even buy scissors to cut off the tattered insignia from his indescript and obsolete space uniform. In such a short time, and without warning, Sergei Krikalev's world had changed. It was gone. And a new era was beginning. Now, can you imagine that? But folks, I'm going to tell you something. Our world's changing in that same way today. It doesn't take long. Shirley and I went out of the country in 1991. We came back to a brand new country in 1995. Because of the changes in our world and the opposition of our enemy, the church must be flexible enough to make some changes as well. Roger Von Ock writes in his book, A Whack on the Side of the Head, "Why be creative?" he says. "Why challenge the rules? Why run the risk of failing? Because of change," he said. "When things change and new information comes into existence, it's no longer possible to solve yesterday's problems with today's problems with yesterday's solutions." Over and over again, people are finding out what worked 2 years ago won't work now. This gives them a choice. They can either bemoan the fact that things aren't as easy as they used to be, or they can use their creative abilities to find new answers, new solutions, and new ideas. The reason I'm saying this, folks, is that's why God's direction is so critical to church unity. We don't have to worry, you see, folks. Methods are going to change. Methods are changing around us continually in our world. In every direction we look, methods are changing. You know, there was a time when we didn't have these big screens stretched out across the back. There was a time, though, when we didn't have this microphone either. It was a time when all of these things begin to change over the course of history. It does that. God's word in the midst of this, though, while methods around us are changing, stands absolutely secure. God's word stands secure. And the one director of all that we do in a fellowship and as a church is the stability of God's word. It has been and it will continue to be God's word. It is the Bible that goes before the church to give the church direction. Now, God has always changed his methods, but his word never changes. There's an illustration of this right here in this passage. Did you realize that? Now, think about it from the children of Israel's perspective, because sometimes, you know, we just look at our own perspective and we don't think about how other people have had to adapt to change as well. Other people have had to make those giant sweeping changes. The children of Israel were used to what? Guiding them. A pillar of fire and the cloud by day that led them. Now they were coming to the Jordan, and what does God say all of a sudden? He said, you're going to have to shift gears. No longer is the pillar of fire going to guide you. No longer is the cloud going to guide you. But now you're going to follow after the Ark of the Covenant. A whole different method. It was the same God, the same word, but a different method of leading. Change is not always easy, folks. But I learned a long, long time ago, and this is another one of those things you can write down in your Bible, if God leads you to it, he will lead you through it. If God leads you to it, he will lead you through it. As God continues to bless our church, we are transitioning now from a small church mentality to a larger, more aggressively outreaching church mentality. And that may mean that we'll have to change in some ways, and change is hard. That could always set the stage for division if we're not cautious about this. But fortunately, God has built in for us one big safety. You know what that safety is? Methods may change. Our approach to things may change. Expressions may change. But God's word never changes. And that is the lesson that God's teaching Israel right here. And that's the lesson that God's teaching us as well. God is teaching them and God is teaching us to walk by faith and not by form. Mark that down. Walk by faith and not by form. It is true that they were used to the cloud and they were used to the pillar of fire, but now they had to look to the ark and go where it was going. If God did things the same way each time, we would begin to become dependent on methods instead of dependent on God. God wants you to come to know him, not just the method. You see, we should have learned this a long time ago. Sometimes God delivers you from the fire and the trial. Sometimes God delivers you in the fire and the trial. Sometimes God takes you through the fire and the trial. But any way God chooses it, he's still the same God. And he chooses the way regardless. However, it still requires the same faith to deal with it. Our direction will always be true as long as you and I continue to follow the light of God's word and realize that methods may change, the building may change, our arrangements and look of things may change, but the moral compass that keeps families and churches united never changes God's everlasting established word. And the most important tool that you can ever pass on to your children, folks, is that idea right there. Let them know this God's word never changes. You young people that are going to be going into a future where I cannot go. You're going to be living in a world where I cannot live. You're going to be facing things that I have not yet to this point faced. But I'm going to tell you something. You take the same word of God with you and he will see you safely through. We have never been where God is leading us right now. And that's why it may be uncomfortable for us. But God's word keeps a church headed in the right direction. No matter what else changes, the Bible will not change. And I'm so grateful to God for that as we go into the future. Over the next several weeks, folks, we're going to be looking at how we're going to be doing things differently, how God is going to be moving among us, and how we're going to be improving things and being more deliberate in many of the things that we're doing. With regard to discipleship, with regard to outreach, with regard to fellowship, with regard to worship, all of those kinds of things. But no matter what else changes, Bible principles remain the same. You see, the message of the church never changes. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. The mission of the church never changes. To win the lost and mature the saved through sound teaching. The mandate of the church never changes, to worship and glorify God. The morality of the church never changes, holiness and purity as defined in Scripture and modeled by Jesus Christ. The ministry of the church never changes, service to others. These things do not change. And the reason they don't change is because they're based on God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path." No matter how dark our world may become, our direction will always be true as long as we follow the light of God's word. We face a challenging future, folks. How then do we go on? What do you do when you're facing what seems to be an impossible situation? Well, we learn from God's word, don't we? We do exactly what Peter did when he was walking on the water. What did he do? He fixed his eyes on Jesus. You and I must do the very same thing as we move forward in the future. We move forward unified around the direction of God's word. There's a second thing. Because we see the unity of expectation. In verses 5 through 7, we see that Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourself because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow." Then he said to the priest, "Take the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people." So they carried the Ark of the Covenant and they went ahead of them. The Lord spoke to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel so that they will know that I will be with you just as I was with Moses." Now Joshua told the congregation something very important. He says, "Get ready because the Lord is going to do amazing things among you." Now, this was not the end product. Just getting in here together in a new building is not the end product, folks. This is just a tool for what God wants to continue to do as you and I reach out to our community and our entire world as we make an impact not only in our local community here in Pratt, but globally all the way around the world. What was the Lord doing? He was going to part the waters of the Jordan River. I think a wave of excitement must have kind of gone across the people because they begin to talk. You know, our forefathers used to talk about how they crossed over on dry land over the Red Sea. Now God's going to give us our own unique mighty work here. The church enjoys a unity of expectation, folks. Every Christian congregation can personalize Joshua's promise. The Lord will do amazing things among you. I don't know how it is where you live, But I'll tell you where my heart lives every single day. I have never desired as a pastor to pastor a church where things can just be explained on a human basis. I want to be a part of what God is doing, and I want to be a part of God doing things that cannot be explained in human terms. We share the expectation of divine intervention. God has promised to work powerfully in our circumstances for his good. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, those who have been called according to his purpose. Add to that God's intervention. You realize God is intervening in our church right now? God is intervening in the life of many of the people who are gathered here this morning. God is working right now in many of your lives in unique ways, in unique circumstances. I hear about it day after day, week after week. I hear how God is intervening in the lives of people. I heard about a local church that spent several weeks discussing whether their ancient, old-time, old building should be repaired or if they should just build a brand new one. The argument was strong on both sides, but finally a meeting of the entire congregation was held, and the wealthiest member in the whole church stood up to speak in favor of repairing instead of building. A generous church member said, I'll give $100 to the repair of this wonderful old church if we could just keep this old church. Suddenly a big old lumber truck rumbled down the road in front of the church. It shook loose a piece of ceiling tile, and the plaster fell down that member's head, and he kind of was stunned for a moment. He shook off the effects and said, well, I had no idea about how badly this place needed repairing. I'm going to raise my offering to $1,000. Well, at that moment, a freight train roared down through town, knocking more plaster down on the man's head. And again, he said, it's much worse than I thought. I'm going to raise my donation to $10,000. At that point, the minister stood up and looked heavenward and said, Lord, hit him one more time. Hit him one more time. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Over the next few weeks, I want you to understand you need to be challenged to get involved in this work of God as well. See, many of God's people have already sacrificed. Many of God's people have already given. Many of God's people have already pledged and already made commitments with regard to paying for this building. But we cannot do it alone. All of God's people need to say, this is where I fit in. This is my commitment. This is what God has for me. And we're going to be sharing with you specifically how you can commit to be a part of this great work that God is doing in this place. God gets involved, and God's getting involved in the hearts of many people right now, saying, this is how you can get involved. You know what's exciting to me? I have people come to me and say, Pastor, I just believe so much in what God's doing in our fellowship. I want to give more. I want to increase my pledge. You know, I pledged a certain amount of money that I was going to give to the completion of this building. I want to increase that. I want to give more. God's actively involved. In response to prayer, you see, God heals. In response to prayer, God protects. He provides. He sustains. He delivers. He opens doors. He multiplies workers according to the need. Paul told the Ephesian church, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can think or ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church throughout all generations. Why would Paul say that? To raise their expectation in ours. God never disappoints. Folks, this was the eve of one of the greatest days in the history of Israel. They were just about to cross over into the promised land, and they were told to examine themselves and confess and forsake any known sin in their lives and to get ready to go forward in holiness with God. Now, this process of consecration is something you and I need to be thinking about too. You see, God wants to work mightily in our church, and God has a plan for the future. As we step into the future, you and I need to realize that nothing can be present in our lives that will hinder God working in that future in our lives. So we need to go before God and say, Lord, examine me in light of your word and reveal the things in my life that need to be corrected. You see, the process is much like the melting of an iceberg. Only 10% of its mass is visible. But you know what happens? When that 10% sticks up out of the water, then the sun shines down on that, it melts, and then more comes up from the bottom, and that's how it is revealed and finally melted. God has chosen the same for us, folks. He's bringing to light more and more things where you and I need to grow up into God and do the things that God would have us to do. You see, God has chosen not to work in the lives of people who are unwilling to open their hearts to his cleansing and his leadership. So we must always be certain we stay open and transparent to God. How many of us and how often have all of us failed to step up to our dreams simply because we're not prepared? Tomorrow, soon, God's going to do wonderful things among us, folks. And I'm not speaking about Israel here. I'm speaking about us here. I'm speaking about this church here. God wants to do wonderful things among us. God wants to do mighty things among us as we reach out continually to our community and around the world. The key to all of this is that you and I be prepared. We come before him with lives submitted and transparent. Søren Kierkegaard, the 19th century Danish philosopher, tells a story about a town where only ducks lived. He said every Sunday the ducks would waddle out of their houses and they would waddle down Main Street and they would waddle into the church. As they waddled into the sanctuary, they sat down in very familiar pews and the duck choir then would waddle in and take its place. The pastor, the duck pastor, would just waddle in and he would open his Bible. He would preach to them and he would read to them and he would say, "Ducks, God has given you wings, and with wings you can fly, and with wings you can mount up, and you can soar like eagles, and no walls can confine you, and no fence can hold you, because you have wings. God has given you wings, and you can fly like birds." And all the ducks would get excited, and all the ducks would shout, "Amen, brother, amen." But then, when the service was over, all the ducks would just waddle home. The lesson is clear, folks. God has provided us with a wonderful facility here. God has provided us with a future that is broad and wide open and full of his promises. The future is in God's hands, but he has chosen to give it to us and to share it with us. Friends, God has provided all we need today, but he's called us to do something great. He's called us to be something great. He has called us to reach his dreams, and he's called us to use our wings and take some risk and go out on some limbs. It would be a shame for us just to waddle out and go home again today. Just as the hand of God removed the obstacles that were barring the entrance of Israel into the promised land, he has removed obstacles in our lives and now has set before us a wide open door. This, I believe with all of my heart, is something we can do together, stepping into a united future. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about that. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about how we, each of us, can be involved in God's purpose in this place. How each of us can be involved in our commitment to him, and how we can be involved in making a difference not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others around us as we step into God's united future. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed and eyes closed as God speaks to you today. I said that young man called me and said, "Pastor, I want you to come and share with our church because we want what you've got." And I began to think through it and I began to think, yeah, well, we've got it to a degree. But there are still some who need to make that commitment. There are still some who need to step up. There are still some who need to open their hearts in unity and transparency before God and say, "Lord, that's what I want my life to be. Lord, I want to surrender all that I am as well." Right now, there are some who've never even trusted Jesus as Savior. You're here today, week after week. You've heard the message. The Bible is so clear and plain and true. I've shared it week after week that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that he gave himself up for your eternal salvation. If by faith you will turn from your sin and receive him as your Savior and Lord, committing to follow after him, asking him to forgive you of your sins, saying, Lord, I want to be a Christian, and I'm totally, completely, forever dependent on you for my salvation. The Bible says that Lord Christ will come in. Some of you need to do that today. Maybe there are those of you here as believers and you have to say, you know, I want to move forward into a unified future. I want to see what God has to do among us. He didn't bring us all this way just to keep us the same, folks. He wants us to go on. He wants us to be more effective. He wants us to be more complete. He wants us to be more committed. He wants us to be more serving in all the things we do. There are many wonderful things. He's going to do great things tomorrow. Are you going to be a part of it? Maybe you need to come today and say, I just want to line my life up with the Lord. Maybe there are those of you that need to come unite with our fellowship. I don't know what it is that God's leading you to do. I'm going to ask that Pastor Josh stand here before you. I'm going to ask that our deacons will come and stand here before you today as well. And they'll receive you. They'll be standing here to share with you. But as God speaks to you in just a moment, as we stand and sing, I encourage you to respond. Maybe there are those of you that need to just take that little card in front of you and fill it out and say, this is my name, and this is what God is saying to me, and this is how he's speaking to my heart. I don't want to just waddle in here and waddle out the same. I want to recognize that this message of truth, this message from the everlasting certainty of God's word, is something that genuinely applies to my life and can radically change who I am. And I want to go out of here and I want to be a person that learns how to fly. I want to be a person that uses the wings that God's given me. I want to be a person that unifies with other believers to go forward in the future to do whatever it is that God would have me to do. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the establishment of this truth that is certain and sure. May we forever, Lord, be bound up and dependent on it in all things that we do and say. As we go forward in the future, Lord, we know we've not been this way before, but we know, Lord, you're leading us ahead, and through the power of your word and the strength of your might, we go forward for your glory and honor. We pray these things in Jesus' name.